Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Easter Sunday service. Not only is this our Easter Sunday service, but we'll be having baptism in just a moment as well, as we celebrate the works of the Lord and the lives of our men and women who are getting baptized. We will give glory to Him, and we give thanks as well for those who will be transferring their membership to our church through membership transfer. And so we give honor and glory to God for that. Not only is this passage of Scripture about Jesus reinstating Peter, not only is this passage about Jesus restoring Peter, helping him to see that his love for Jesus is real, but I believe that this passage is also about how Jesus wants Peter to follow him. How Jesus wants Peter to follow him. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter before he denied Christ? We looked at this a few weeks ago. Jesus said to Peter before he denied him, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." You see, this passage is about what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. To know first and foremost that when Peter fails, indeed, he did fail big time when he denied Christ, that the Lord's grace is there, that the Lord's grace is sufficient for him for even his biggest mistakes in life. Don't feel comfortable standing there, all those wires. I already got baptized already a few years ago. Men and women, boys and girls, we've all made mistakes in life. We have. And we'll all continue to make mistakes in life. We'll all continue to make mistakes and sin. You will. I will. As a father, as a husband, as a son, as a pastor. As your pastor, I will make mistakes and I will sin. Your spouse will sin. Children, your moms and your dads will sin. Your brothers and sisters will sin. Your friends will sin. We'll all make mistakes and sin against God, sin against each other. But the Lord's grace is sufficient for us. The Lord's grace is sufficient for us. He will forgive us of those sins when we come to Him in repentance. Just like Peter did after the rooster crowed, when he went outside and he wept bitterly, he had remorse about what he had done. Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, is to receive grace. We receive God's grace, and then we reciprocate God's grace to others. This is what makes us unique as a community of believers. This is what makes us unique and different from the world. We receive God's grace, and then we offer it to others in return. Peter must have felt so bad. He was the leader, and yet he denied Christ three times publicly. How can he ever be used by God again in a leadership position? He must have thought to himself, I'm done. I'm done with leading others. But Jesus restores Peter. Instead of rejection, Peter finds redemption, restoration, and grace from the Lord. And when Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross, what Jesus did in his resurrection, makes what is unforgivable forgivable. We receive grace. We receive God's unmerited favor, undeserved favor in our lives. Here, Peter is also learning that although his desire to follow Jesus is without doubt, you cannot question his desire, and that his devotion and love to Jesus is genuine, he needs to follow Jesus. Not out of his sheer heart, not out of his sheer desire and passion, but out of his own, and not out of his own strength or power, but to rely fully on the Lord. To rely fully on the Lord. You see, it's not about us. It's not. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about how spiritual we are, but about how Spirit-filled we are. It's not about how spiritual we are, but how Spirit-filled we are. Now, I believe that Jesus is saying to Peter, do it my way this time, Peter. Do it my way. Lead others in my strength. Be strong in the Lord and not in yourself. Preach to others with the strength that I provide you. Not out of your own abilities, your own eloquence, but trust in me for the words. Trust in me for the results. Trust in me for the life change that will take place. Evangelize and witness to others in the power of the Spirit. Heal others in my name. Deliver demons in my name. Make disciples and build the church in my name. And because the work of the church cannot progress until its leaders are healed of their past, until its leaders are healed of their sins, their faults, and their failures, Jesus changes them. Jesus changes Peter from being an impulsive person to a rock. Jesus changes Thomas from being a doubter to a bold witness. He changes Mary from being a self-absorbed person to being a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. He changes Nicodemus from being a secret seeker to one that is trusting of God, devoting himself to God. He changes him from night to light and from words to deeds. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? We receive grace. We receive grace. We rely fully on the Lord. And then thirdly, we resist comparison. We resist comparison. When Jesus calls us to follow him, we should not look around to see what others are doing or what they may be asked to do. But that's our tendency though, isn't it? That's our tendency. We ask questions like Peter in verse 21, Lord, what about him? What about John? What about this guy that's following us? How will his life end up? You know, rather than thinking about his own discipleship, how he is to follow Jesus, Peter wants to know what will happen to John. What about him? Isn't that a question we often ask ourselves? Instead of being concerned with ourselves, we need to ask. And when we do ask some things, times, we ask, what about Winston? What about Andrea? What about Jeremy? You just keep on looking to me, I'll keep on calling your name. What about CK? What about Justine? Jesus said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. You see, Jesus wanted Peter to base his outlook not on who he is or what he can do, which made Peter very prideful and made him very prideful, but on what Jesus is and what he can do. He is to be the stabling force, the center and the strength of their lives and of our lives and no one else. We will always fail. We'll always lose courage. We'll always succumb to pressure if our lives are based on our own view of who we are. We cannot and we should not compare ourselves to others. We should not compare ourselves to other Christians, to other congregations, or to other churches. Our self-esteem and our self-worth is based on who Jesus is. And we draw our strength on him and from him alone. So what does God want us to be? What does God want Fraserland's church to be? And some of you who were here a few weeks ago, you heard our vision statement, our newly formed and adopted vision statement of Fraserland's. We want to be a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ. Transformed through faith and love in Christ. This is our identity as a church. This is who we're called to be, not to be like other churches. And so after all these experiences that Peter goes through with Jesus, he finally gets it. He finally understands the heart of the disciple, the heart of the pastor, the heart of the shepherd. It's not a call to a ministry that promotes ego, personal glory. It's not to a ministry that promotes filling ourselves, our own ambitions, or even pride and competition. But rather, it's a ministry of selflessness. It's a ministry of submission. It's a ministry of sacrifice, just like our Lord. Discipleship is not just believing with our heads, our minds, and our thoughts, but it is what we do with our hands, what we do with our feet, what we do with our will as we respond to Christ's questions for each one of us. Do you truly love me more than these? More than the things that we have in life, more than our possessions, more than our houses, more than our careers, more than our hobbies, more than our security in life, more than our self-reliance, more than the power that we have, the influence, the sway, the responsibilities that we have, more than living a comfortable lifestyle. Do you truly love me? Not do you like me? Jesus is not asking, do you want me to heal you and forgive you? Do you want me to answer your prayers? But do you love me? Are we willing to follow Christ even to the places where we do not want to go? And so we all need to make a decision to personally follow Christ, to not look around to see who's following. And sometimes he will lead us to places that we do not want to go. But because he loves us so much, because we know that his plan for us is perfect and sovereign, we can trust in him, and we will entrust ourselves to him and to his will for us, even in the uncertainties of life, even when things are unknown. And so today we have three people who'll be getting baptized. They've made a conscious decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They've gone through different things. They've gone through different challenges in life. But even in these challenges and circumstances of life, they declare before God, they declare before other people here today that they are believers, that they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, who loved them, who died for them, and in so doing, he has conquered and defeated death, and he is risen from the dead. That's why we're celebrating on Easter Sunday today, that our Lord Jesus Christ has defeated death and risen from the dead. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask each of them to come up and to share their story with us before we baptize them. But before we do that, I just want to very, very quickly go over and explain what baptism is. Baptism is best described as the image of dying and rising again. The image of dying and rising again. We're dead to sin, but alive to God. We died with Christ, but we are risen with him. We're not the same anymore, for the old has gone, the new has come. A new life has begun. Romans chapter 6 says this, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." So Pastor Larry and Pastor Paul, I can invite you to come to the baptism tank. And then as you get ready for the tank, Ronald, once they're in the tank, would you mind coming forward and sharing with us your testimony? And we'll baptize you after that.